It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Welcome to Visit Moffitt County. This program is a public service announcement opportunity provided by Blizzard Communications. We are grateful for this time for Northwest Colorado citizens to get up to date on what's happening in Moffitt County. As always, remember, we're 5,000 watts that sound like a million. I'll be serving as your host today. My name is Tom Kleinschnitz. I currently serve the people of Moffitt County as director of Moffitt County Tourism. I'm a retired commercial river guide. I held concession permits and with the National Park Service in Dinosaur for 33 years, as well as other locations in western Colorado and eastern Utah. I have the pleasure of speaking to three individuals today. First, the chairman of the Moffitt County Tourism Association, John Husband. John is an active in several community groups and will be updating us on many of those groups and their initiatives. Next, we'll have Jennifer Holloway, director of the Craig Chamber of Commerce. She'll be discussing the Yampa Building and the newly formed Yampa Building Foundation. And then finally, we'll be revisiting with the Director of Natural Resources for Moffitt County, Jeff Comstock. In our last program, we visited with Jeff on several topics. He's coming back to update us on many of those initiatives. First, John, welcome.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Well, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Most people, I think, in Moffitt County certainly know you, but for visitors and people new to Moffitt County, tell us about yourself, your family, and, you know, the path. How did you get to Moffitt County?
Oh, well, yeah. The way that I got to Moffitt County was through my job with the Bureau of Land Management. And I applied for the area manager job here and got it back in 1992. So moved here after being stationed in several other locations with BLM around the West. And I obviously like it here and have been here for 32 years at this point, and I'm retired from the BLM and still live here in Moffitt County and love it.
Well, great. You know, I think many of the leaders that come into us from various agencies come and stay for a short time and then move on to other communities. I think it's outstanding that your talent has remained right here in Moffitt County. I know you well as an avid river runner, and kind of describe that. I mean, you know, an avid river runner in Moffitt County is not unlikely. A lot of people do enjoy the rivers. Tell us about how you got started with river running and some of the rivers you've run.
Yes, I would have thought Moffitt County is not necessarily being the location that you would have a lot of whitewater river runners and rafting enthusiasts, just simply because around Craig, you know, the rivers, pretty mild, pretty flat water and everything. But, you know, we're in good proximity here to some outstanding whitewater runs. And I really didn't get into that, Tom, until I moved here. I had done some quite a bit of canoeing other rivers, through the West, flat water things back in Indiana, where I was born and raised. But when I moved here, I started enjoying the whitewater aspects of running the river and fell in with a bunch of friends that I met here that also are avid runners, river runners. And the rest of that, I guess, is history for me. As far as rivers that I've run, you know, the local ones, of course, around here on the Colorado Plateau, and local being all the way from Yampa Green to the Colorado River down through the Grand Canyon and Salt River and others, Colorado Plateau. Also up in Idaho, but I'll tell you what, those are just some wonderful rivers up there to run on the Salmon, the Middle Fork, the Snake, and those. I just enjoy it so much, just the serenity and the excitement and the camaraderie, the outdoor experience, the camping. I enjoy every aspect of the river running. Yeah.
Well, certainly you get out there. You tell us about a lot of trips. What was your last trip?
My last trip had been on the main Salmon River up in Idaho, and that would have been in July.
Well, obviously, yeah, you're a man that gets out and does that and has your rig and does that in a lot of great places. Also, among your many talents, you're a musician in our community. And I think that's obviously an important aspect of entertaining and visitors and residents alike. Tell me about some of the venues where you play for the community and the kind of music you present.
Well, thank you for that. Music is something that I do a lot of, that I thoroughly enjoy. And since I've retired, I would say that between rafting and outdoor activities and playing music, that's kind of what I'm focused on. Here locally, during the summer months, when it's warmer temperatures into the evening, and I play on a regular basis at Gino's pizzeria here in Craig outside. It's an outside venue, and so that's a regular for me and has been for, 15 years or so. But I'll play for community events. I've been out to Maybell a couple of times playing music out there for the horse drive, or out to Browns Park where they have the Wild Bunch days out there in Browns Park. And I do play in a band, and I've played in a couple of them since I've been here. And we do get out to play on occasion, mostly for private events. I would say that the large music venues here in Craig are somewhat limited, just with the size of the town and all. But, with our events that we have here in town, between Whittle the Wood, Balloon Festival, some of those things in the summertime, we've gotten out at a number of those events as well.
Well, I think that was enjoyable. Of course, I was out when you were playing at the horse drive this year in Maybell, so that was a great opportunity for a lot of events, and I think that it's great. What kind of music do you play? What's the sort of thing that someone would expect to hear from you?
It probably depends on the venue and whether I'm playing solo or with a band or what. I play a variety of music. If I'm playing solo, I would say like folk rock, which would be an acoustic guitar and vocal harmonica and maybe a little bit into country and a little bit into rock and roll and a little bit into, I guess, music standards. But with the band, so we tend to be classic rock and blues, that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, great. Well, I think you're quite versatile, and that's a big part of being a small-town musician and obviously well thought of. You're also very active in several service clubs, and I think your community service on a lot of levels is to be commended and certainly a leader in our community, not only with the tourism board, but the other community events that you have. Kind of associated with river running and that kind of thing is this Leafy Spurge project. Tell us about what Leafy Spurge is and why it's a challenge to ag people here in Moffat County.
Okay, Leafy Spurge is one of the many noxious weeds that in the area, and it is a non-native species of plant. It was originally introduced from Asia. When I moved here, there was leafy spurge present in the valley, and I remember it being prevalent along the river between here and Hayden. It has spread a lot since then. The high water in 2011 did a tremendous amount to spread it downstream along the river with the seed that it produces. Leafy spurge is a tenacious plant. It outcompetes native plants, so it will spread. It does not have the natural enemies like insects and other plants that it has back in Asia where it came from, so it spreads more readily here. It's actually toxic to cattle and horses. It'll blister their mouth, put them off their feed. And it spreads along the river a lot. So, yeah, when you say it's somewhat related to the river, it certainly is. The river's a vector that spreads the seed downstream. But it also then spreads upstream into the uplands, and we have a number of upland infestations around here. It is very difficult to control. People can treat it with chemicals and certainly do their best to do that. It's such a tenacious weed, however, that often, usually, in fact, you can knock it back with chemicals and, in a number of years, 5 years or so, it just comes right back because it has such deep root system that it will survive chemical spray and eventually resprout. With the Leafy Spurge Project, it's faced with a bunch of volunteers that we all are river enthusiasts, and I guess that's what got our interest to start with. But and we have tried some different things over the last, I think we've been working on this for maybe 9 years or so, something like that. We got a start with successfully getting a grant from the Colorado Department of Agriculture and also then from the River District through the round table here locally. We've sponsored some research through the University of Wyoming, had a couple of researchers down here looking at trying to find some most effective management strategies. And most recently here, we're doing a lot of emphasis on the biocontrol, which is insects. Insects that feed only on leafy spurge. They've been tested for decades, since the 70s, and they only attack the leafy spurge, and we have volunteers that go around and collect these insects where they have been used in other areas and bring them here, and we're releasing them. The reason for that being that the difficulty of controlling with chemicals and the location where we're seeing this spreading along the river, you just can't get to all these places to treat it with herbicides anyway, on islands and riparian areas, seasonally flooded areas, this and that. We're hoping that the biocontrol with the insects will have the effect of at least slowing it down significantly, slowing down the seed production, and so that it's not spreading so readily into our ag lands here. They actually have had quite a bit of success, like up in Idaho, where some of our volunteers go now to collect the insects, and we're learning a lot with that.
Well, I tell you, it sounds like a big project, and I think most of us did not know that it's been going on for 9+ years to, do some heads-up work to make it happen. The next group that I think is important that you're active with is the Moffat County Parrotheads. And I think I'd like to hear about that group, but also the concept that wrapped around the new Whitewater Park here in Craig. But was it first contemplated with that group?
Yes, first I'll give a plug for the group. The actual name of it is the Northwest Chapter, Northwest Colorado Chapter of Parrotheads, and it is a community service oriented organization. The Parrothead name comes because we are a bunch of Jimmy Buffett enthusiasts, and there actually is a nationwide and worldwide organization of Parrothead clubs that are all community-oriented organizations doing different things for their communities. One of the things that this club, that caught our attention, and let's say maybe 15 years ago or somewhere in there, was the city diversion dam for our drinking water that goes into our water plant. is in a stretch of river here south of Craig that also is popular for people floating on the river in canoes, in rafts, or in tubes in the summer. A lot of people get out with families on tubes and float down through there from Pebble Beach down to Lowder Simpson Park. Well, that diversion dam, as it was deteriorating, had she even had some rebar sticking out of it here and there, and was not designed really with the idea of safe passage for tubers or boaters to go through. And we actually had a member of the club that went out there and took it upon himself to go out there and start removing rebar and some of those hazards from the diversion. And we were thinking, you know, we need to see if we can get something going where we can develop this into a whitewater park. It'd be good for people who enjoy floating the river, and it would be good for safety. And, you know, I can't remember exactly, maybe 12 years ago or so, we actually got some funds together through donations, club members and community members, and also with help from our friends upstream, the Friends of the Napa group from largely in Steamboat, with funding to pay for a preliminary engineering and design on and feasibility for doing a whitewater park out there at the city diversion site. And through the years and staying after it, we actually gained some momentum and some interest in it. And now, yes, through some grants that the city of Craig's been successful in obtaining, that's actually going to be coming to reality here in the next year or so.
Well, we're all very excited about that. It's an interesting project to watch, and I'm certainly excited myself to go play in a whitewater park just right outside of Craig. As we kind of have our conversation today, I just wanted to, you know, you also work with the Kiwanis, but I know that they have their infamous play each year. Tell us about the Kiwanis and your contributions there and the club's contributions.
The Kiwanis Club is really quite a fixture here in Craig. I mean, this club here was formed in 1946 and very actively engaged in the community, supporting various projects through time here that I've been involved with them. That include, at various times, providing funding to purchase the senior bus for getting senior citizens around, people that needed rides around town. For scholarships for graduating Moffat County High School seniors that are going to college. And the club, we'll give away, between $10,000 and $15,000 in scholarships every year for deserving students. And most of that money is raised through our infamous politically incorrect play that we have every year at the beginning of March.
Well, we all enjoy that play, and it puts smiles on faces across the valley. And it's usually talked about for a long time afterwards, and you guys do an amazing thing with that each year. As we wind up today, I understand, you know, that the Tourism Board is doing a trip in Dinosaur National Monument. They've done one on the river for the last 3 years. Can you tell us, characterize who participates in those trips and why those trips might be important?
Yes, the trips that we have been doing the last few years in Dinosaur National Monument is in conjunction, of course, with the Park Service. Also with recreation interested groups and individuals in this area, also in other agencies that are involved in public land management. BLM has been participating, and state agencies with the Tourism Board and with outdoor recreation interests in the state. And I think it's just a great opportunity for us to get out there on the river to the relationships amongst these various entities that are interested, from the tourism board standpoint, interested in promoting tourism in Maffa County. And it's a good opportunity to have people together for a period of several days on the river, in camp, and talking about what the future for this area related to outdoor recreation, related to tourism, and what's appropriate for this area. And I think that's important, too, because as we promote tourism in the area, we want to make sure that we promote tourism that's going to be appropriate for Northwest Colorado, that isn't going to just drastically change, the character of the area. So I believe they are very important trips.
Well, great. I think as we wind up today, I just want to make sure that people know how to maybe contact you or the Visit Maffa County group. How do, if somebody wants to book you for some music, or if you want to get involved with Leafy Spurge, what's the contact numbers people might use?
Well, good. That's an opportunity for a plug here. My phone number is 970-629-2586. And so for any of those purposes, why, that'd be great information on what we're doing in the tourism board, what we're doing with the Leafy Spurge Project, or for some music venues.
Well, Mr. Husband, thank you for joining us today. It's absolutely been a pleasure. We'll be working with you mighty soon.
Thank you very much, Tom. Have a good day.
You too. This is Visit Moffat County. We'll be back in just a moment.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffat County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
I'm Larry Desjardins at Keep Route Wild. We are big supporters of the Core Trail, and the voters passed Referendum 2A to expand it, but it never got funded as mountain bike trails were prioritized instead. Now the City Council faces the same decision. You can help. Go to KeepRouteWild.com and learn how to write to the City Council to support the Core Trail. Thank you.
Visit KeepRouteWild.com to learn more ways to help the unique wildlife around us.
KTYV Sports on FM at 97.7 and 105.7 is proud to present the Harvey's Huddle Pigskin Pick'em Challenge. Each week of the NFL season, you can win amazing prizes from our sponsors, including Central Park Liquor, Mountain View Car Wash Self Serve, and the Old Town Pub. And it's absolutely free. Head to SteamboatRadio.com, scroll down, and click on the Harvey's Huddle Pigskin Pick'em Pool. Sign up and make your NFL picks weekly, and you could win great prizes. So get registered today for the Harvey's Huddle Pigskin Pick'em Pool at SteamboatRadio.com.
You look around you. You see so many people trying to control one another. And when that happens, there's sadness, fear, and in some cases, combat. You want your life to be different. My name is Glenn Jamron. I'm part of the Alpine Bank family, member FDIC. You've learned that everything starts within yourself. You know that making your own choices feels good. Yes, it takes work, because you want to make sure good things follow. You've taught Alpine Bank that blazing your own trails can be more daring. It can be tremendously gratifying. Suddenly others notice. They too begin to follow their own unique paths. Independence is a good thing. Makes sense to Alpine Bank. You've taught Alpine Bank that when we care together, your world is filled with peace.
It's time now for Visit Moffat County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
We're back with Visit Moffat County. Our next guest is Jennifer Holloway. Jennifer is the director of the Craig Chamber of Commerce. We'll be discussing the Yampa Building and the newly formed Yampa Building Foundation. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on. I think we're going to focus on what's happening with that wonderful Yampa building. Tell us a little bit of the history of how the chamber's in there and some of the people that are in the building right now.
Yeah, so we are lucky enough to be the residents of the Yampa building, which is located in downtown Craig on Yampa Avenue. The building is a old schoolhouse that was built by the district back in the early 20s. And it has been used by the school district for various purposes throughout that time. At a point in 2018, 2019, they decided they were going to decommission the building. It was a little over their budget, and they were having trouble keeping all their facilities. So the decision was made to decommission that building. And so it was shut down, and they moved their headquarters, and it sat there empty. And, you know, it was pretty depressing driving by after growing up in Craig and seeing that really nice little brick building shut down. When we were lucky enough to start working with the district and the city of Craig, with an idea that the chamber had been working on for a few years of how could we expand our visitor center with a better location and some more square footage to be able to, you know, welcome visitors. We know that tourism and our future economy is going to be diversified, and part of visitor centers it fit in to make a bigger spot for that. So we work together with the city and the school district, and we're lucky enough to create a partnership where the school district was able to give the building possession to the city of Craig. The city of Craig then gave a lease to the Chamber of Commerce, and we were allowed to take the building over and curate a vision for that building, and that includes multi-use, multi-purpose, and getting it to a historic status. And so we're just really glad that we were able to work out that deal, and we've been able to be successful. This is our last year of that 5-year lease, and we've made a lot of progress, and that building is alive and doing well now. So it's super exciting to be in there.
Well, as a tenant in that building, Moffat County Tourism, I just am amazed at how it's turned into such a wonderful community center. I mean, it truly is the heartbeat of the community. I see so many groups meeting there and enjoying that space.
Yeah, it really has been a success for bringing people together. Last year, we had over 38 different nonprofits using the building for meetings or various business. We also welcomed many outside agencies and organizations over the last few years, foundations, directors of state departments. We've had the Senator Hickenlooper and Bennett there, as well as all of our local elected officials. And it's really exciting to have a nice big room that's open, and we can enjoy bringing people together, and a lot of good conversations are happening there.
And the new thing that I'm just really excited about myself is you attained a major grant, and tell us about the new kitchen facilities there.
Yeah, we've excited. We've been able to put some money into the building since taking possession. Part of that original move-in was an LMD grant for doing a small remodel. And then over the past few years, we were able to secure a direct congressional spending grant through Senator Hickenlooper's office. And that gave us $500,000 that we've used as a seed to do quite a big renovation. We put in some ADA accessible bathrooms and a lift to the second floor. And what you mentioned is a commissary kitchen. So really exciting to have now a facility just about ready to open for people to use that will give them access to a commercial kitchen to incubate their small businesses, to have cooking classes, to do catering. We anticipate quite a bit of use from all of the sectors. It's a nice functional kitchen with a good ramp going in, and so able to bring in food and out. We're really hopeful to help a lot of our small businesses find ways to follow the state health code and be in compliance while expanding their business in an affordable way.
Well, as we wrap up our time together, I think part of what is new and exciting is this new Yampa Building Foundation. Tell us about that tax status and why, how that's important and what kind of vision you have and others involved have with this new foundation.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. So, as you know, the Chamber Board decided we created another foundation that is now a 501c3. So that allows us to bring in more tax deductible funding towards the building. And that foundation is dedicated to keeping that building in good condition, as well as other pillars to bring our community together through education, leadership, economic diversity. And the Yampa Building Foundation is a great tool to be able to bring funding and keep that building sustainable. And I'm super excited to have you agree to be part of that board, Tom, and the others that are coming together to help keep this community jewel part of a shining part of our downtown.
Well, I think we all agree that it was a shining jewel, and we do lose landmarks in our community for other reasons, but the preservation of this building, I think, is paramount in my view, and it does now have historic presence and status, and I think a group of people coming together to preserve it for generations is quite important.
Yeah, it really is great to see, and a lot of the youth. But didn't mention the Senior Social Center is also home at the Yampa Building, Community Garden, as well as the Arts Council, and we have private businesses using the co-work space. It really is a testament to government, nonprofit, and businesses working together to create a community that comes together.
Well, great. So people interested in the Yampa Building and the foundation, how would they reach you?
The Craig Chamber of Commerce, our website. We also are available at 970-824-5689. You're welcome to stop by Monday through Friday. We do greet our visitors to the community. So if someone's there willing to, anything we can do to help you out.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. Jennifer Holloway, the Craig Chamber of Commerce, and very active in preservation of the Yampa Building.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great day.
You too. That's it for this segment is winding up. We have Jeff Comstock with the Moffitt County on next. We'll take a quick break.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffitt County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
There's a certain type of person that thrives in Colorado. Strong, independent, fierce. They carry their own pack, blaze their own trail, and work hard just to be here. To them, we say, we should know. We were born here. Bank of the San Juans. One big, happy little bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. You've been around the block before. You know what's important when starting a new business, including a local bank that cares about what you do. One with sound advice and strategies to help guide your new venture. Our decisions are made locally by folks you probably see every day. So, whether this is your first time or your next time around the block, stop by and say hello. Bank of the San Juans, one big happy little bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Old Town Pub is your NFL headquarters here in the boat. Old Town Pub is in our eighth season of being proudly ripped off by DirecTV so we could offer you the NFL Sunday Ticket. We boast 12 TVs to ensure everyone can watch their team take on victory. Locals keep the Old Town Pub afloat, and we want to offer some killer deals for the regular season. Mention this ad to get 10 for $10 chicken wings, unofficially the best of the boat, our $10 McDowell Burger a la carte, $4 Mountain Time Lagers, $5 Storm Peak Penny's Pale Ales, $8 Mythology Bloodies. Take care of yourself, take care of your people, and live it up at the Old Town Pub.
Big O Tires understands the importance of keeping your fleet vehicles running smoothly. Our expert technicians provide quality automotive services and offer an extensive tire selection. Plus, we know that time is everything, and that's why Big O Tires minimizes fleet downtime with priority appointments. Fast, quality service for any size fleet. Big O Tires is your one-stop shop for commercial and personal vehicle needs. Roll into Big O today.
Upgrades to the Fish Creek Water Treatment Plant have started, and during this time, water will solely be supplied by the Yampa Wells Treatment Plant until the Fish Creek plant is back online in mid-November. So the City of Steamboat Springs asks you to do your part and conserve water by turning off outdoor irrigation, limiting indoor water use, and to conserve where you can, because every drop counts. Mount Werner Water District and the City of Steamboat Springs thank you for your cooperation. Visit steamboatsprings.net/water for more information.
Hunting season is here, and Victory Motors of Craig has the perfect gear for your next adventure. Get ready with our rugged Ram trucks and versatile Jeep SUVs, now offering 0% APR financing or as much as $6,000 in rebates on select models. Whether you need a truck that can handle the toughest terrain or an SUV with plenty of cargo space, Victory Motors has you covered. Visit Victory Motors today at 2705 West First Street in Craig and at victorymotorsofcraig.com. Victory Motors of Craig, where your hunting journey begins.
The most refreshing part of a McDonald's soft drink is paying just $1.39. Any size, all day, every day. Like an icy cold Coke, Sprite, or even iced tea. Be warned though, once you pick up a refreshingly cold drink for $1.39 and people see just how refreshingly cold that drink for $1.39 is, you may create drink envy. There are drinks, then there are drinks from McDonald's. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
We're back with another segment of Visit Moffitt County. Joining us now is Jeff Comstock with the Moffitt County Natural Resources Department. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Tom. How are you doing today?
Absolutely good. I'm glad you're able to join us this morning. I know that you were back by popular demand the last time we talked. We seemed to run out of time about all the things we wanted to sort out. But to start again, tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe your family's success at the county fair.
You bet. My name's Jeff Comstock. I work for the Moffitt County Commissioners as their Natural Resources Director. I spend a fair amount of time on public policy issues and land management topics. I've worked in Moffitt County for over around 25 years in this position. County Fair is one of the neatest activities that go on in this county each year. I mean, congratulations to the Fair Board, the foundation, all those that volunteers that put on the county fair. There's a tremendous amount of activities that go on during that week, and it's a fun time to spend time down there. And all kids learn all kinds of good things there, everything from how to win and how to lose.
Yeah, well, I certainly see that your family had some success down there. Our listeners heard quite a bit about this tri-state settlement agreement. I understand there's a few elements to the thing, starting with some payments starting in 2026. Tell us about the agreement itself and maybe the commissioners and how they envision using the funds that will be coming in.
Sure. I'm happy to discuss that. So let's start off big picture on why we're even talking about a settlement agreement. So part of the requirements that are that when a utility closes, such as Tri-State closing down, there are certain things that they have to be approved through the Public Utilities Commission. And the Public Utilities Commission is a state entity that essentially makes sure there's power on the grid for those all of us that need it. And when a closure date is proposed, there's a process that the Tri-State and any other utility needs to go through. And they're regulated differently depending on whether it's a public utility or whether it's a private cooperative like Tri-State. But ultimately, Tri-State did, as a company, needs approval through the Public Utilities Commission to set the closure dates for each of its three units out at the power plant. And that is a process where the City of Craig and Moffitt County jointly participated in that process. And a lot of the funding of that process came from the Office of Just Transition. And one of the things we needed to do as both county and city governments is we needed to make sure our citizens from a public entity perspective had some type of a package to move forward with, because when you lose a power plant and coal mines, Moffitt County loses about 45% of its assessed value. That's a huge impact. I mean, think about it as if you were losing 45% of your household budget and what that would do to you and all of us. And so one of the things we talked about in that negotiation is different ways to offset those impacts, and offsetting them in several ways, not just money, but other things. One of the most important things for our community here is to make sure that there's do all we can to assure future jobs, long-term good-paying jobs, such as exist right now at the power plant and the coal mine, and also a property tax base. Because unlike sales tax, property tax, which is where the power plant and the coal mines are paying large numbers, those fund our taxing districts. And so when we're talking about things like fire departments, school districts — school is a huge one — we need to do all we can to make sure those districts have as fair of a transition out of expecting coal revenues as they can. So we spent a lot of time trying to talk about and negotiate how that, if you will, the public entity side of that would work. This is very different than the workforce side. The workforce has still lots of room to talk and work. They've got unions that represent them, and they have more talks that'll have to happen with Tri-State to make sure workers have a fair transition here. But what we're talking about today is just kind of the public entity side of it.
Well, great. And so I understand the payments begin in 26. What characterize those payments? And again, how do the commissioners envision using those funds?
Sure. Well, the negotiation is going to be finally approved once the Public Utilities Commission hears it. But what we settled on and what we agreed on was a combination of cash payments and backstop payments. And we agreed on about $22 million of cash payments starting around the year 2026 and going through 2029. Those funds could have the opportunity to be added to with what we call backstop payments. And a backstop payment is a prorated set of numbers that total up to $48 million. But those backstops are there to backfill property tax if Tri-State does not replace that property tax with what we all want, which is new industry in this town. And what we're talking about there is as they develop projects, for instance, a new gas-fired power plant, other battery storage, other things, they get to use that property tax to offset. The property tax they pay with new projects gets to offset part of that $48 million. So to make it really simple, what we're talking about is a guaranteed $22 million payment and then various options up to $48 million that roughly total a $70 million package. The commissioners and the council, the City Council of Craig and the Moffitt County Commissioners, have agreed that money needs to be used to offset what we have lost and what we're going to lose. And by that, we're talking good high-paying jobs and property tax. So it's not a fund to go build amenities or to go upgrade capital expenses for taxing districts. Its goal is to replace or to offset what's been lost, and that means promoting new business that will pay large property taxes. We've had several meetings with the space industry. We hosted a roundtable. We've had companies interested in relocating here. Those kind of things that pay a new power plant, a gas-fired power plant. Those kind of things replace what we're losing, or at least offset, not completely replace, but offset it. That's the kind of things that fund will be able to be used for. It won't be a pot of money just to do the next project that an entity needs. And here's the reason. This is really important. The point of using that money to replace property tax and jobs is it gives all of our taxing districts, including the school district, a win in the long run. Rather than just passing on $22 million to different taxing entities and having that money gone, if you focus it on actually building up new industry that will be here 50-plus years, you get to have 50-plus years of property tax and good-paying jobs, which benefits all of our taxing districts a whole lot more than just a quick one-time short-sighted payment out. And so that's what people need to remember when this settlement is talked about, that public benefit is we're looking at 50-year time frames here, plus we're not looking at quick, immediate payments. We're looking at things that promote an income for 50 years, which means building new industry.
Well, it sounds like a well-thought-out plan, and it sounds like the leadership in our community has really got behind something that's going to move us forward. I understand another element of the negotiations with Tri-State is about water. Can you explain to our community about what benefits we may get out of Tri-State's water and water for the future?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Water was an element, and so was a future 290-megawatt gas plant. Those are all big parts of a negotiation that really help our community move forward. But you asked about water. So in this settlement agreement, if you remember last time, we talked a little bit about the need. In March 1st, 2022, the Yampa River was designated by the state of Colorado as over-appropriated. And that has a lot of consequences that go with it. But the one consequence that we focused on in Moffitt County was it prevents water wells from being drilled on parcels less than 35 acres if they get subdivided after that, after the river was over-appropriated. And that's a huge problem because it stops growth and it stops development in the future. And one of Tri-State's assets that they were willing to partner with our community on is they have water in Elkhead Reservoir that is already adjudicated for augmentation. And so we had been leasing augmentation water from the River District out of Elkhead Reservoir, and that augmentation water was for the sole purpose of augmenting future water wells. After that river was over-appropriated, we had to have an augmentation source to allow people to continue drilling wells. Well, after this negotiation, instead of leasing that water from the state, we now will own the water that we need for that augmentation plan, and that was because of a generous donation from Tri-State through this settlement. And so for the foreseeable future, Moffitt County will have water to allow to be used for water well drilling.
Well, I tell you, Jeff, after speaking to you today, I'm just very confident about the future. Should I be that optimistic?
You know, Tom, I am not negative about it. We are definitely changing. I think the tone of this community will change. I think the values of this community, I think, probably changes as time goes on. But there's no way in the world it's folding up and going away. It'll look different for sure. But, you know, from a property tax standpoint, there's a lot of things that we're looking forward to. There's a potential for pumped hydro project, which would be big scale industry There's several, there's a couple new very large-scale interstate power lines going in. We're constantly seeing proposals through our planning department for solar and even wind projects. There's a change happening in this community. We're seeing a housing shortage. We're seeing people moving here with remote work. I mean, the future is different for sure, but it's certainly not going away.
Well, you touched on a couple things, and if you know, as we wind up today, can you give us any update on the Gateway or Transwest Power Line projects? I think many of us are familiar that they go through the northwest portion of Moffat County. At what stage is Gateway and Transwest?
Well, if you've traveled west on Highway 40, you've seen the pads being leveled in little spots as you move along out to Utah for the Gateway South transmission line. That's a big interstate transmission line that started to be built last year. Many of the towers were erected and lines were being hung. That's one of two large-scale power lines going in. The other one, which is Transwest, we expect to start being built next summer. They've got their notice to proceed from the Bureau of Land Management. Those are some kind of things that happen that you see happening once in a generation. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen big industrial power lines being built. They it's like everything. There's good and bad. Nobody wants to look out their window and see a power line, but at the same time, they contribute significantly to our tax base. They contribute a little bit to jobs, and more importantly, they help with energy security across the nation. I mean, the Gateway or the Transwest line is one of the major lines that ties the eastern side of the western power grid. That transmission line ties a lot of the eastern side together from an east-west perspective. Go ahead.
It's good. You know, those updates are huge, and I think it's part of what's happening in Moffat County. It's certainly, we see a lot of the workers that are on those lines coming into town and spending lots of money and filling our hotel rooms.
Yeah, like every big scale project. I mean, you've got your supporters and your opposers on it, but overall, those power lines, we're seeing them move forward.
Great. Well, and as we wind up, I just wanted to get to this last time. You've represented us at Club 20. You've been the president of Club 20. Can you tell us about that organization and why it's important for Moffat County to be a member of Club 20?
Sure. Club 20 is an interesting organization. They lobby on issues and they represent the western slope on issues. They started years ago with transportation as their core background and making sure that the western part of Colorado had road improvements, because a lot of that money was going to the eastern range years ago. And throughout all these decades, Club 20 has been an organization that represents us on everything from natural resource issues, which I care deeply about, all the way through education and topics, technology topics. There's healthcare topics, and pretty much any interest that you might have, Club 20 is politically involved in those. And when we all join together, we can stand as a Western Slope a little stronger.
Fantastic. What else should people know about your department at Natural Resources there at Moffat County?
Open to the public. If you've got questions about natural resource topics, coal, oil, gas, water issues, anything natural resource related, public lands issues, we're here to talk. I'm located in the west side of the courthouse. I share an office with our three county commissioners, and we care what the public's interested in. We want to be sure to be open and transparent with anything we're working on.
Great. Can you tell us the phone number and email that people might use to contact you, Jeff?
You bet. Phone number is 970-826-3400. And that's a direct line to my desk. And email is jcomstock@moffatcounty.net.
Well, thank you, Mr. Comstock, for working with us this morning. We know your time is precious, and you've got a lot going on, and we really appreciate all the good news that you've shared with us this morning. Have a great one.
Thank you, Tom. Goodbye.
We thank all of you for joining Visit Moffat County today. If you or your organization would like to participate in future broadcasts, contact me, Tom Kleinschnitz, at Moffat County Tourism. At my phone number is 970-824-2335. The website for Visit Moffat County is simply visitmoffatcounty.com. If you have other important events, we sure like to promote them on Visit Moffat County. Again, we want to thank Blizzard Communications for this public service announcement opportunity. Good day.
Thanks for listening to Visit Moffat County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.